Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, but I have a special role today. I am your host only for today because I am delighted to actually interview one of our new radio show hosts for Women Lead Radio. And let me tell you about our new radio show host. I am delighted to introduce you to Kimberly Davis. She is the partner and managing director of the Boston Group. And we challenged Kimberly to be a new radio show host with us, and she took the challenge, and the new title of her radio show is called The Fiscal Feminist. And I can't wait to unpack this. So Kimberly, welcome. Say hello to all of our listeners as our new radio show host. Yay!
Hi, Michelle, and hi, everyone. Just an absolute pleasure to be here today and to have the opportunity to speak with Michelle about the fiscal feminist.
Yeah, well, I get to interrogate you. I'm so excited because I get to find out about these two words that are at play, fiscal and feminist. I think it's an interesting conversation that we'll have on this. So first of all, thank you for being our new radio show host. I can't wait to see what you do with the show, which is part of what we'll talk about today.
Well, I'm super excited. So I have some big plans, and hopefully everybody will find them interesting and engaging.
There you go. And we want to know a little bit about you because we're kind of setting the stage for that. So as our new radio show host of The Fiscal Feminist, I mean, the first question is obviously, what? Why this title? Why Fiscal Feminist? And I love it, and I know we've had conversations on it, but what do our listeners need to know as to why are you doing a radio show called The Fiscal Feminist?
Well, over the years, I've been pondering the relationship between women and their own fiscal responsibility to themselves, which I think occasionally we do put on the back burner given all the other responsibilities that many of us have to contend with. And due to a series of unfortunate events that happened to me throughout my life that affected my financial situation, and given that I am in the wealth management business, it occurred to me that we don't really discuss with women how they allocate their time and prioritize things that will actually affect their physical, mental health, and their, you know, their kind of sanctity of mind. And finances really play into that. So what I really want to do is to influence women in particular to take responsibility for themselves, for their finances, and to achieve some solid financial footing in both calm and turbulent times, because times aren't always calm and things can happen on a dime. And that is, of course, when whether or not you're organized or you're even knowledgeable about your situation can really affect the outcome of what occurs.
And I love that. And, you know, I mean, I think you and I will both agree, because you're in the industry and I just watch it from, you know, arm's length, that there's so much out there on financial well-being and wealth management and investing and, oh my gosh, financial planning. And you just kind of like roll your eyes. And yet, you know, at the heart of everything we do, and this is what I wanted you to kind of share, Kimberly, because you have an incredible story as to why this radio show is so important to you. And because of what you've been through as a mom, a single mom, a partner, and an incredible leader, right, of an organization, can you share a few elements, if you would, about the kind of personal journey you've had and why this is so important to you personally? Because I think that really will hit home with a lot of our listeners as to why they should listen in.
Yes, of course. And, you know, as you mentioned, there's a lot of information out there about financial planning and, you know, all sorts of products. And, you know, you're bombarded with this information every day with, you know, people on book who are selling their books on CNBC, so on and so forth. But really, what my message is, it's more about prioritization for women. And it's not all of this kind of generic financial information. And so this has come from my personal journey and my story, that all the financial turmoil I had to circumnavigate. But essentially, I think women, you know, put the needs of others before their own. We're often wives, mothers, daughters. And, you know, it's very laudable because we all get great satisfaction in being, you know, caregivers and partners and mothers and helping those in our orbit achieve success, happiness, health, and so on and so forth. But often it's at the expense of our own personal well-being. And in our efforts to try to care for others, we put our needs, our desires, and often our own planning on the back burner. And then when something occurs, the people that we were trying to take care of the most also get hurt by what is happening. So in my situation, after, you know, 23 years of marriage, my marriage came to an abrupt end, and it was not my choice. And then we went through, you know, the court system, because we were both lawyers, ex-lawyers, and so you can pretty much guarantee that divorce is going to be contentious.
That has to be ugly. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Even if
I'm
there's
sure.
nothing to fight about, we could find something to fight about. And so in any event, you know, we went through this horrific process, and the court order was issued, and I thought, okay, you know, everything seems all right. I had a settlement, and I was given alimony for life if I didn't remarry. And I assumed, you know, that should be enough to kind of keep my children and I in a safe space. At the time, I had two children, one child in private university and two children in a private high school. So I had a lot of educational expenses. And I also had
Not
just
cheap.
Moved back. Exactly. I just moved back from the United Kingdom, where I had been living with my family for about 14 years, to the United States. So I was also paying health care expenses, which is very expensive. And so all of these, you know, there was quite a high nut of expenses every month. So what essentially happened was, due to unforeseen circumstances, my ex-husband stopped paying the alimony and then went to court for a revision of the order, which he won, even after I fought vociferously to, you know, not have that happen.
Wow.
And I won't bore you with the details of the ins and outs of that, but, you know, it is what it is, and he put forward his case, whether it was legitimate or true or not, he still won that battle. So basically that left me in literally a day going from having a certain amount of alimony to it being reduced by almost 80% with all the same fixed costs, all the same issues I, you know, had to contend with respect to housing, my children, their education, healthcare costs, the day to day. So it was a period that was really fraught with fear. And I was really, and it took several years for all of this to kind of shake out. So I have to tell you, I was in a state of fear for a good 3 years and on high alert. I was constantly worried about what was going to happen. And I had to figure out what to do. But the question that really pops up in my mind is, I'm a person with a financial background. I was a corporate securities lawyer on Wall Street. I was an investment banker, a CFO, and I had my own company, and now I'm a wealth manager. So I have a significant financial background, and I was an ex-lawyer. So how could this happen to me, you know?
Yeah, great question. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at you. I'm just like, it's perplexing to think what you know, smart girl.
Well, it's a thing, you know, like, how could this happen to me? Like, I'd be the person that you would think this would not happen to. And I guess what I concluded was, is that I got so inundated with my day-to-day life of caring for my children, being the primary caregiver because my ex-husband had a job that required all of his attention, or at least he thought it required all of his attention. And I was just inundated with all my responsibilities with family life, pursuing my own professional pursuits. And as a result, I put the financial knowledge of my own marital finance situation on the back burner. So I didn't take the necessary time to keep my eye on that financial ball. Yes, I paid the bills like, you know, many women do. They you know, handle all the day-to-day finances. But the overall picture, I really did lose the plot. And, you know, I wasn't paying attention to tax returns. I wasn't paying attention to accounts that were being opened. And that lack of attention and lack of preventative measures that are not that difficult to put in place really resulted in a time that was fraught with uncertainty and fear for me. So my thought over time has been, you know, how do I prevent other people from experiencing the fear and the uncertainty and the turmoil that I had to experience? And, you know, luckily for me, when I had this all happen, I had the skill set. As I just moved back from England, I needed to get a job right away, but I hadn't worked in the United States for a long time. I had worked in England, but not in the United States. And, you know, I was lucky enough to find a job at Morgan Stanley, where the Bonson Group originally was at before we went independent, and, you know, became part of the wealth management profession. But I am very fortunate in that I had this, you know, kind of skill set that allowed me to transition into employment. But it was a long haul, and I didn't get a job right away. I was 55 years old. So, you know, I was part of that thing they call the gray divorce, which is, you know, women over 50 getting divorced and their whole lives turning up topsy-turvy. But my message is not just about divorced women. I want people to understand that the message is for all women, because there are simple preventative measures that we can take and be knowledgeable about that will prevent something like this happening to them. And my mission is to set forth through the radio show and writings and events, so on and so forth, these skills, this tool set, and also to interview other women and hear their experiences, as well as other professionals that can help women know what game plan they need to implement in certain areas, because there's a lot of conflicting goals for women.
Yeah, well, hold on a second, because I want to back up on a couple of things you said, because that's what I think is going to be exciting. Is, first of all, I get fired up every time I talk to you, because what you've got inside of you is incredible information just for you to share, you know. And I want to back up a little bit and talk about, you know, that it's for all women. I mean, give, from the perspective of our listening audience, it's like, what are some of the guests, or who are some of the guests that you're thinking of as either topics or type of people that you're looking to bring in? And what message are you hoping that they will convey specifically? I mean, I got a ton of questions, so let me hop in, you know, on those. But for this one specifically, who is on your hit list right now as far as guests and message to, you know, to benefit other women who are our audience?
Well, I'm definitely going to have an estate planning attorney come in. I have a woman who I collaborate a lot with, but it's just more than planning for your estate. It involves discussion about, you know, separate property trusts for women who might be professional and who are currently single and may get married later. So it will involve us planning pre- and post-divorce planning, which means just planning before you get married as to how to set things up so that you can perhaps have some of your assets ring-fenced. That goes for a lot of professional, young professional women out there today who have great jobs and, you know, are probably going to get married in the next 5 to 10 years. And they need to be prepared before they say, I do, because a lot of the assets that they've accumulated prior to marriage should be ring-fenced. You know, I don't like to assume that everybody's going to get a divorce, because they don't. But it doesn't hurt, and it's probably most prudent to just make sure that whatever you have accumulated to that date, you have it all set up in the appropriate way and be knowledgeable of the different vehicles that you can, you know, that you can use to make sure that you conserve your assets and or you know how things are going to pan out if things go south, because you've either got it in a prenup or a postnup. So certainly we'll be talking to divorce attorneys and certified divorce financial analysts that can discuss that whole process. I like to speak to, you know, financial planning, of course, is important. So I might bring in some tax experts and accountants just to have a more general discussion about certain basic things that people need to talk about. I may bring in some other people in the wealth management arena that can collaborate with me on speaking to the different, the conflicting goals that we all have. You know, you may want to save for your child's college, but you also have to save for your retirement, you know, which takes priority. Some people out there say, don't worry about your kid's college, only worry about your retirement funding. Well, that's not realistic. I mean, you know, especially a lot of parents, mothers, they, you know, they do want to participate. So I would like to have someone discuss college funding, what other ways of funding are out there besides just saving yourself and so on and so forth. So some of the modules of just all the different things that we engage in. Also, I was thinking for people who like other types of investments, like investments in the art world, automobile mm-hmm. collecting, things to that nature, like how are these legitimate investments?
That's different.
You know, how do they pan out and how does that figure into your overall, you know, kind of investment strategy?
Wow. I mean, that's a lot. And I think, you know, again, there's so much that's out there. What's always fascinating to me, Kimberly, is that this is almost like that taboo topic. I mean, as much as there's all this information out there about financial planning and financial wherewithal and wealth management, you know, at the end of the day, I think a lot of women, this is just my take, because I, you know, I drink the lady Kool-Aid all day long, as you know, through our association, that so many of the women I know in private conversations will go, gosh, you know, I nod my head when I hear about, you know, investing in the stock market, or know that I need to do this, or I'm aware of that, but they're just unsure of what steps to, because they don't want to feel stupid or look stupid, you know? And to me, it's like, knowledge is half of it, action's the other part. And I think, you know, the knowledge part, how will yours be different knowing that the information is kind of the same? What are you hoping people do with the information as they hear about this on the Fiscal Feminist?
Well, the first thing I want is for them to actually take the time to hear the information, but more importantly, to have sort of a talk with themselves, that making sure that even if it's a basic financial knowledge of their situation, knowing, you know, how much money they have, how much money their husband makes, how much they make, what the full picture looks like. You're not allowed to not be aware of the basics of your life, you know, because I do talk to women mm-hmm. frequently in my job who have no idea what their husband makes for a living. They have no idea what
wow.
his salary is. They have no idea, you know, about like the whole, you know, investment profile of their lives. Or I meet other people that are just so busy, women, professional women, that they haven't even thought about it. And time is clicking on and they haven't set up a trust for themselves. They haven't ring-fenced their assets in a way that if they were to get married and something would happen, that those assets that they made prior to the divorce were, you know, secure and couldn't be split in a community property state. So I think what this
so
is going to be
things.
More granular, but also with respect to investment strategy, and I know this makes a lot of people's eyes glazed over, so I would like to try to make this, you know, as user-friendly as possible, and also like the basics, like what should you be looking for when you choose a financial advisor? Do you even need a financial advisor? You know, could you be doing this in a robo version, or would you rather have an advisor? And if so, what are the things that you should be looking for? You know, I'll be talking about the fiduciary duty and all the different standards within the wealth management profession. It's just such an even playing field here. A lot of people can tell you they're a financial advisor, and in point of fact, they really are not a financial advisor. They don't know how to construct a portfolio. They may be basically an insurance agent who says that they are actually a financial advisor. So that nomenclature can be used by many. So it's really a combination of explaining to women what to look for in that regard, but also just starting with I'd like to start with the basic steps of what they should know. What are the basic things they need to know about their,
I like
their financial landscape?
Well, you know, we
I want this to be
to,
user-friendly.
Like, well, Yeah, I hear that. And I'm thinking, you know, when you, as you think just in general for professional women, because that's our audience, right? And a lot of women are owners, or it's like they're career women, or they're up and rising young stars, you know, to be future leaders in business. Like what, I mean, if you had to kind of say these are the top three things right now, at least for those listening right now, what would you say are the biggest things that you see that are challenges for professional women today, you know, just off the top of your head, because you deal in this all day long, what do you see that women don't do or that they struggle with the most as it relates to being a fiscal feminist? I'll go there.
Okay, and I'm going to answer that question in a minute. The other guest that I'm going to have is a business planning person who is involved in literally, you know, startups and helping people with new businesses and ongoing businesses. So I thought there's a lot of business owners out there that, you know, would like to know probably a little bit more about how to launch certain things and what might be involved in that, because that's certainly a lot of the professional women audience. But I think the most problematic thing that I think most women have, whether they have children or whether they don't, it seems to be time. You know, it's just, time is so precious, and we don't have a lot of it. So it comes down to the balance between your time and your priorities and those things that you're going to allow to take up your time. And I think this is where my biggest flaw was. I was just so consumed with the myriad of things that I had to do that I never really had time to focus on, you know, my financial picture. I just kind of delegated that, you know. And when you're single and you're a professional woman, sometimes it's not that you delegate it, you just avoid it. So I think we have to put it on our calendars just like any other obligation. You go to the doctor, you get your mammogram, you know, you get all of the tests that you need to get to be healthy every year. You need to do the same with your financial situation. If you find yourself in financial turmoil, you will become physically and mentally drained. So all of these things are linked to your health. I mean, this is a holistic sort of thing. So I would say block it out on your calendar. Once a month, twice a month, I'm going to, you know, sit down and look at all of my, see what I have here. What am I doing with it? Do I just have it sitting in a cash account? Do I have enough? Do I have a 3-month cushion for emergencies? Or how will I acquire that? How am I going to save for that? What am I doing with my debt? And if I'm married, do I know how much my husband makes? Do I review our tax return when it's done? Do I know what investments we have? Do I participate in that decision? Have I ring-fenced any money for myself? And then, you know, those kinds of issues. So in my mind, it's the top two things for me is taking time out for yourself to have a think about this stuff, even if it's an hour a month, that's better than nothing, and not delegating it to a husband or a father or a friend, or just let it lie fallow and do nothing with it. And then to prioritize it, to make it as important as going to the doctor, because it really is. As important as going to the doctor.
Yeah, and here's the question. Do you feel like for the women you'll touch, you know, for information, will it be, because, I mean, this is what I'm taking away with what you're saying. I mean, I think when I'm hearing estate planning attorney, CPA, you know, oh gosh, I don't know, when you're talking about, you know, divorce and getting a prenup or not, and I'm thinking, oh, these are women with wealth and with, you know, influence. And will it be for up-and-comers and, you know, kind of women starting out?
Especially for women starting out. I mean, the basics apply to everybody, you know. So there may be some topics that may not be applicable to them at this point in time, but they will be over time. But certainly the very basics, we're going to start off with the basics for every woman, you know, regardless of profession, regardless of everybody needs to be cognizant of where they're at, even if they're kind of living from paycheck to paycheck. There are certain principles that people should be applying and a mindset that they need to embrace, which is we are responsible for ourselves. Every human being is responsible for ourselves. We are not allowed to delegate that to anybody else. And that is, I'm going to keep going back to that point because I think a lot of women are, you know, are just, again, overwhelmed and they just don't do it. And they just hope that it will all work out. So I have a daughter who's 27, who's embarking on a new job next year. This will be aimed at her just as much as you know, the other women I meet who might be further along in their career. I mean, I met with a young lawyer, yesterday. She just became a partner, and she is a single mom. And she just said, I have not had time to think about my money, and it's just, it's just completely disorganized. So
yeah.
I'm here. What can we do? I feel totally disorganized all the time, and now I'm starting to feel at risk. You know, she's a highly competent lady. She's a partner in a law firm. And again, like me, you would think, oh, well, she's got this all together. But in fact, she didn't. And that can apply to any profession.
I think that's a great example. I mean, it is, because it should be. And I do know how many women, you know, they don't want to say that this is the case, but they're very – they know that they own, they don't, they're not doing what they should do. I'm going to put myself out there and go, I'm like the poster child of, you know, when life happens, you know, what do you do then?
Right.
Because to me, I had a plan. I, you know, was diligent in what I was doing, but then life circumstances and things that happened, not to my, you know, something I did wrong. It's just life happened, you know, in my family situation. And, you know, that caused a lot of other expenses to come to the table for medical reasons that, you know, I didn't even see it coming, you know, and then you got to deal with that fallout. So there's things that happen to us that if we're not prepared and we don't have the information, boy, I've learned a lot since. But, you know, everything is kind of like one step at a time. And I love that. Let me ask you my final question, because we're almost out of time. Like, what do you not want the fiscal feminist to be? I know time goes fast, right? But we're going to have you as your first guest here coming up soon. But what do you not want the fiscal feminist to be? I'm kind of curious, since there's so much information out there, you know, and what's your lane not going to be?
I don't want it to be a generic kind of tutorial on all the things you should do for a good financial plan, or, you know, to get out of debt. I mean, obviously that's part of it, but I really want it to resonate with women for their particular situation. And I know, you know, when you're talking to a large group of people, that's hard to accomplish, but I want it to be personal in the sense that, you know, every one of us has unique circumstances, and we have conflicting requirements and desires that we want to accomplish, and they're not all the same. But I would like to have feedback from the audience, questions from the audience, input to hear what they want to hear, and be able to tackle those issues. Because I think, again, women's situations are very unique. I think they're definitely different from men's, their financial situation.
Yeah.
And they have a particular set of questions. So I'm going to be looking to solicit questions from the audience, from people that read my writings, and anybody else that wants to just shoot me an email and let me know what they're thinking, and what I might be able to address that could be particular to them. But, you know, that's what I want. It's not just like a generic thing that both men and women can read and say, oh, well, if I do this, you know, if I pay this debt off first. This is more complex. Like, what should I do about my child's college funding when I haven't put any money away for retirement? And how do we weigh those conflicting goals and desires? And what should I do about, you know, if I'm going to get married and I don't want, you know, to make someone feel uncomfortable, but, you know, should I have a separate trust, or should I have a prenup, or should I have a postnup? All of these things I think are important to discuss. Those kinds of things apply to people who are in their 20s to people who are literally in their 60s.
Well, and I'm hoping, can you whet our appetite? It's like, do you have your first guest lined up, and when is your first show? Because I don't have it in front of me, but I know it's coming up. When is your first show?
Now you're asking me a question that I don't know the answer to, but I think it's in March. And I believe now you really put me on the spot with that one, Michelle.
Sorry. No, it's a new show, but it's like, do you have an idea? I mean, have you asked your first guest, or who
yes,
are you thinking?
I have. And,
you want your first guest to be?
Well, I'm going to be talking, with, a lawyer, a woman lawyer named Christy Lewis. She has her own law firm in Irvine, a Costa Mesa. And she's a business planning lawyer, and she also does estate planning. So
cool.
The gamut of the topic is going to involve everything from business planning to what you should do, and various, or at least start contemplating about various stages of how to ring fence your assets and how to set up your assets and so on and so forth. And that could also involve some, you know, discussion about how to prevent turbulent times by using that mechanism.
Love it. Okay, well, we had to whet our appetite. Our show is done. This is how crazy the time goes, Kimberly. I can't wait to hear what you have for your first show in March. Yes, for our listening audience. And first of all, Kimberly, you are an awesome leading lady today. So can't wait to hear your show and listen in and chime in. So we're delighted to have you as part of our CAP radio shows. I'm Michelle Berquist. I will not be your host of The Fiscal Feminist, but we are here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. So if you look for a variety of topics on being a better professional, to being a better leader, to being more fiscally responsible or a fiscal feminist, oh my gosh, the list goes on, and I hope you'll listen in. For that said, I want to wish everyone a happy new year, and you know we're here every Monday and Friday. And as I always like to say, I challenge each of us to be supportive of other women. So please do that in the new year, and let's make it a great 2018.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.